رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Ramadan Nights on this 20th night of Ramadan. I'm your host Abu Abd Rahman, and I'm very pleased to be once again joined by my dear beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Jalal al-Shami. Assalamu alaikum dear Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's been a while.
It has, alhamdulillah.
But here you are.
Alhamdulillah.
You've had quite an adventurous Ramadan, to say the least. Where do we start, tech team? Allahumma barik. So let's just, you know, start of Ramadan, you took our Umrah group to ASWJ Umrah group to Umrah. How was it?
Alhamdulillah. Yani, my first ever Umrah I did in Ramadan. Back in 2001. With our Sheikh Fayez and the brothers from JYC, and Bilal Dannoun was there as well. And it's always been sort of something in my memory, like the atmosphere of Ramadan in Medina and in Mecca is something unique and very special. And I really like, I wish for every person to experience that at least once, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Just the atmosphere of going to the masjid and having the locals there drag you in. They're calling you, please come and have iftar with us. Everyone's like fighting over you so they can feel there. You know, they make a spread for iftar, give dates and yogurt and bread and you know, basic iftar.
Sheikh, now, just to pause here, I want to recheck your memory because I'm remembering something that maybe you forgot. 2007, I went for Umrah. And I ran into two sheikhs that I traveled to Mecca with and I saw. And you're one of them. Do you remember that? 2007, Sheikh Abdurrahman.
Yeah.
Didn't we see you in Mecca? Or
possibly. Well, that was my first year in Medina, 2007. And as well, it was in Ramadan.
Sheikh Muhammad Dua was there as well.
Yeah.
Sheikh Kamal, may Allah preserve him all.
Yeah.
Everyone was there.
Yeah.
Mubarak. So yeah, you were there, or
yeah.
So I remember I went to the Haram with you, yeah, and Sheikh Abdurrahman Isa.
Sheikh Abdurrahman came to the university at the same time. So I actually met him there. I had never met him before.
So overall, how was this year's experience?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. It's especially like in the beginning of Ramadan, it's relatively a little bit more quiet, quote unquote, even though it's all alhamdulillah busy. But alhamdulillah, yani it's good. It's a beautiful experience, as I said too. Yeah, and experience fasting there, breaking the fast, the Taraweeh. And Mecca as well. Alhamdulillah, yani obviously there's some yani hardships, but alhamdulillah, yani there's the blessing of it. Of course, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept.
Amen.
You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever performs Umrah in Ramadan, it is as if performing Hajj with me. So the reward is great. Yeah, and just seeing all the Muslims from all over the world, it's a beautiful experience, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all the Muslims to do deeds that are pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We thank you for being with us, Sheikh. We know jet lag is still a possible obstacle for you.
Yeah, that's why I came on Monday, so I gave myself a bit of time before.
And our topic for tonight is, why I mentioned the word obstacle, is the four obstacles to Iman. We'll get to it. Firstly, we'd like to remind all our listeners that we'll be on 107.9 FM in Sydney until the end of Ramadan. We're on there now, so tune in your cars, wherever you may be, and spread the word. And don't forget, wherever you are, you can listen to Albayan Radio by downloading our app from the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. And also, we'd like to thank our brothers from Depache, long-time supporters of the show. They found out that we are coffee drinkers, big coffee drinkers, especially the tech man inside, or one of the tech men inside. They gave us a machine and coffee for the rest of Ramadan. Jazahumallah khair. And this is their coffee here, double shot piccolo.
Nice.
I'm going to give it a zip on here, live test. Bismillah. Excellent stuff, Allahumma barik. The tech team are very talented, yeah. Sheikh Jalal.
Yeah.
They made the coffee.
Barista.
We got them doing everything here, Albayan. Everything. They make coffee, they run the streams.
That's right.
The audio, everything.
You'd be surprised who makes coffee these days.
How's your coffee, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, beautiful.
You're drinking a, what is it, a latte? Still lattes, Sheikh, huh?
Huh? It's a short latte.
Short latte. See, when I'm with the Sheikh, he drinks double shot piccolos. See the effect I have on him? See the hard stuff, not the... It's a milkshake. Anyway, we'd like to thank our brothers and do support Muslim businesses wherever they are, as they've supported us and supported other Muslim initiatives. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, let's get straight into it today. The four obstacles to Iman. What are you referring to? What are they? Why this topic?
Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salama tasliman kathira. As you know, we are entering the last 10 days of Ramadan. And as narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرَ أَوَاخِرِ يعني من رمضان كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم ليله ويوقظ أهله ويشد مئزره عليه الصلاة والسلام ويجتهد ما لا يجتهد في غيره. Where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the last 10 nights of, when the last 10 nights of the last 10 days of Ramadan come upon him, then he would stay all night in prayer. And he would wake his family, and he would tighten his belt, and he would exert himself in worship more than any other exertion in any other time. So generally in Ramadan, we exert ourselves in worship. But the last 10 nights of Ramadan, to exert himself even more. And we see how he would exert himself. He would always pray the night prayers, but in the last 10 nights, he would pray excessively until he would pray the whole night, almost not sleep at all. And he would wake up his family so that they don't miss out on the virtue of worship as well. They don't miss out. And he would tighten his izar, or his garment, his lower garment. And this teaches us a few very important points. Now, why would he do that for? Why are these things important to enhance worship? And obviously, he is fasting as well, fasting in Ramadan. During the day and in the night, not sleeping much. And if we explain these points, first of all, before we go ahead, where the Prophet ﷺ, he used to stay up all the night. Because generally the habit of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is actually from the Sunnah, is not to stay up all night. That always, that you must sleep at least a portion of the night. That's the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, stand night in worship except for a little. Nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila, either half or a little bit less than half, a little bit more than half. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that the best of prayer of prayer is the prayer of Dawood. He would sleep half the night and then he would get up for a third of the night and then he would sleep for the remaining sixth of the night. So generally, that a person shouldn't stay up all night. This is against the sunnah. So in worship, you're not allowed to do that, let alone people staying up in coffee shops or in restaurants or on the streets or fishing, quote unquote. Or watching,
A lot of fishermen out there.
Yeah, sometimes people say they're fishing, they could be doing something else. That's Allah's sitar wal afiyah.
I mean, we're not going to open that up. They're fishing, Sheikh.
Yeah. I don't know what type of fish they're trying to catch, but anyway.
I think the brims and the whiting and all that, isn't it? I'm not very good at fish.
Al-Muhim. Or watching these TV shows and
clocking Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know what they call when they watch a lot of shows all together.
Binging.
Yeah, and they watch it at double speed, and my wife is sure that
double speed. I can listen at double speed. Watching at double speed is another thing.
Al-Muhim. So this is like this in worship. This is how the Prophet ﷺ normally was. That, but in Ramadan he would be more excessive than that. He would sleep very little, if at all. So that he would dedicate all of his time to worship, to prayer and reading the Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first point. The second point is that he would wake up his family so that they, if not wake up all the night, they at least wake up something. At least get up to pray to rak'ah. So that they are not deprived of the virtue and the blessings. And all of this is that especially that in hope that it will correspond to the Laylatul Qadr, which most likely is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And as Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said that what it refers to is that he would wake up not absolutely everyone in his family, those who are able to cope with getting up. So if your children are young, don't wake them up, because they will not cope with getting up and disturb their sleep. Those who are mature and are able to cope with, or those who are not sick and elderly or someone, they can get up and I can cope with getting up, then you should wake them up. The third one is that he would tighten his lower garment. And either that's a metaphor for, you know, as we say in English, pulling up your socks
roll
or, you know,
sleeves.
Rolling up your sleeves. Or it means that, and a more likely, is to abstain from intimacy with one's spouse, which is normally halal. But a person abstains from that because that takes time and as well causes exhaustion that then makes difficult for a person to get up and worship after that. So these habits of the Prophet ﷺ, and remember he was doing that in Ramadan when he's fasting. So this reminds me of something that يعني, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions. And many of the scholars who speak about spiritual sort of refinement said that the things that sort of weaken a person's faith is in four things. And if a person wants to perfect their iman, wants to perfect their spirituality and their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in Ramadan, especially now in the last 10 days of Ramadan, must beware of four things. Okay, and they are reflected in this hadith. Yeah, first of all, they should not be excessive in food. Being excessive in food and drink makes a person lazy and lethargic and so on. And generally we find, even now, like we find in iftar, when we have a light iftar, we're more energetic when it comes to praying tarawih, for example. But when we have a heavy iftar, you know, we feel uncomfortable, we feel lazy and sleepy and so on. So to have a light iftar and to maybe select foods that are healthy, no, very oily and fatty and sugary.
Real food.
Have good, decent food and not a lot. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned many things in regards to food and being wary of our food. He said the worst vessel that you could fill up is your stomach. The worst thing that you can fill up. A lot of people, they only feel satisfied when they are, filled to the brim. And that's the worst thing you can do, right? Until they have, a coma, food coma, a sugar coma. This is, that's what Allah asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us overcome, the desires of ourselves. And as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, those that will be most hungry on the Day of Judgment are those who had the fullest bellies in the dunya. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, it is enough for the son of Adam to have a few morsels that straighten his back. You know, to eat a third, maximum, a third for his food, a third for his drink, and a third for his breath. You know, so these are all prophetic advices that reflect the importance of not overeating. And as well, a person overeating is a reflection of bad character. It is something disdained. When someone is known or seen as eating a lot, then this puts a person's status down. So generally, a person shouldn't overindulge in food. We take from the food what is absolutely necessary.
Balanced.
And subhanAllah, we actually need a lot less than we think. You know, a lot of the time we think that if we don't get full, then we're not going to be able to perform, we're not going to be able to, we need the energy or whatever. We actually don't need as much as a lot of the time we think. So over exceeding in food, that's the first thing that actually affects us spiritually, affects our worship, affects our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's, we find it in our fasting. And that's something that we should train in our fasting. The second thing, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to spend the night, he used to yuhyi laylahu, he used to make his night alive, not make his night dead. Dead is sleep. And it means that he would not sleep or sleep very little at night. And this as well is the second thing that the scholars mentioned that sort of is a barrier for spiritual upliftment, excessive sleep. Okay, so a person should just sleep the absolute bare minimum. And even though he may be tired and fatigued, but actually that will actually help promote that his worship and his awareness, not when he's too tired and not, some people think, no, I have to, for me to be, fully alert, I want to have like max out my sleep, sleeping and whatever, like sleep, 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours. So then I will actually be more awake. That it's actually counterproductive. Sometimes we might do that. Sometimes you're so frustrated because you're always tired. You want to sleep a lot. So you try sleeping a lot, you're still tired. It's not about sleeping a lot. It's about sleeping at the right time and the right amount. Sometimes only a few hours of sleep, maybe 3-4 hours of sleep are actually sufficient. All right, but not overindulging in sleep. Overindulging in sleep, again, makes a person lazy and lethargic and affects a person spiritually. So too much sleep, too much rest, too much relaxation is actually not good spiritually for a Muslim. and is actually something that is an obstacle for having stronger iman. Okay, and so we see that's why of the best prayer after the obligatory prayers are the night prayers. When are the night prayers? In the time where you normally sleep. And that's why the best time actually to sleep is in the beginning part of the night.
Start of the night, yeah.
Or the start of the night. But because our desires overpower us, we fear that if we sleep in the beginning of the night, then we'll sleep the whole night and we won't get up for night prayers. That's why it is common practice that people pray the Tarawih prayer in the beginning of the night and then they sleep the rest of the night. But ideally, that's not the optimal. As Umar radiallahu anhu, he gathered the people to pray Tarawih, but he didn't pray himself. He commanded Ubay ibn Ka'b to lead the people in prayer. Because when he saw the people praying in small groups in the masjid, in their own one and two and three in small groups and so on, he joined them all under one imam. All right, and he said that what you sleep through is actually more virtuous than what you pray in. And he told them to do that, but he actually criticized it and he didn't join them himself. Like, actually what's better is to sleep in the beginning of the night and then to pray at the end of the night or in the middle of the night. A lot of people as well have a misunderstanding that they think that prayer at the end of the night, the last third of the night, is the most virtuous for prayer. It's actually not. Because if we read the hadith that Allah Ta'ala descends to the Sama' al-Dunya in the last third of the night and he says, who is calling me so that I can answer him? Who is seeking forgiveness from me? Who is asking something from me so I can grant it to him? It's a time of dhikr and dua. And that's why we mentioned as well the prayer of Dawood. When did Dawood alayhi salam pray? Not at the end of the night. He slept half of the night, then he got up when?
The middle part.
In the middle part. The middle part is the most virtuous time for night prayer. Why? Because the hardest time. That's the hardest time. But someone sleeping early wakes up a few hours before Fajr. It's not easy, but it's easier. It's easier, right? So he would pray in the middle of the night. That's actually the most virtuous part to pray. And then he would sleep a little bit before Fajr so that he can gain his energy for the Fajr prayer. So, but if a person fears that they will not be able to control themselves, then they can pray Tarawih. This would be better for them. It's better to pray something than to pray nothing. You know, it's better to pray in a time that's less preferred than to not pray at all. But that's the preferred time. Right. So anyway, going back to excessive sleep. Excessive sleep is something, too much laziness, too much relaxation is something that actually hinders spiritual development. That's number two. Number three that hinders spiritual development is overindulgence in talk. That's one thing. And then we'll leave the last one, inshallah. So overindulgence in speech, all right, in socializing and interacting. Right, so because a lot of the time when we engage in speech, even though we're not engaging necessarily in haram speech, we're not talking about swearing and lying and backbiting. Sometimes even engaging in just normal speech, but many a times you slip up in your speech. You say things that are wrong. You say things that are out of, and even you intend well. And this, subhanAllah, happened to me yesterday. And I saw a brother, haven't seen him in a long time, and I said something I shouldn't have said. I meant it well, like I meant as I miss him. But I said something that I sort of reflected on it myself, and I shouldn't have said that because it could be understood in a negative way.
Happens to all of us when you think back and you said something.
Right, so what's the safest thing for a person to?
Silence.
To be silent or to restrict their speech. And as well, not to interact a lot with people, not to socialize. Some people, they can't stay still without socializing. And now it's not only about physical and traditional socializing, face-to-face socializing. Nowadays, we're online socializing, social media. That this is something that hinders and it's a big problem now. Many of us have become addicted. And subhanAllah, these social media platforms, they're designed to make you addicted. They're designed to have you there scrolling and flicking, right? From
what is quite weird, the Sheikh, and I don't know if you've come across this, and it's been mentioned quite a bit, I've heard of it and seen it in some documentaries and some research, that although we're more social than ever in terms of online, we're the loneliest we've ever been.
Yeah, because it's deceptive. It's deceptive that because now everything is fake.
That's right.
Right?
So even your friends are really not your friends.
Even our food is fake. Even our social interactions are fake. Genuine things are no longer, we've made all of these barriers. how we feel anxious to meet people, to speak with people, you know. So we've got to go back more to traditional ways. But even in the traditional things, we have to be careful. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, that was the other point that I wanted to mention. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, he used to sleep little in the last 10 nights. He used to fast. He used to perform i'tikaf.
Which is a seclusion in itself.
Seclusion. So what's the difference? Can't he just worship at home? What's the benefit in doing seclusion in the masjid? Because there is something else that distracts you. Because when you fast, you limit your food and drink. And subhanAllah, food and drink, even though you think you don't eat much, you don't drink much, you don't think like in terms of time, it takes a lot of your life. But we see now in Ramadan how big of an effect it is in your life. All you're doing, what's the difference when you're fasting in Ramadan and when you're not fasting? What's the difference? You're just not eating and drinking. Well, you're not having breakfast. Or you're not having lunch, you're not having dinner. You're still really having breakfast, but earlier. You're still having dinner, but a little bit later, maybe. You're just not having lunch, really.
Well, what's happening in between iftar and suhoor as well.
Right? So it just goes to show how the simple act of eating, even though it may, like, numerically not take a lot of time, but actually it takes a lot out of your life. So if we remove that out of our life, imagine now how much spare time we have to dedicate. Now people are reading Quran and reading juz'ah or two juz'ah every day. That they would never have done in their normal time. What's the difference? It's just because they've cut food out of their life. Out of their day, really. Right? So now imagine taking out, and food and drink isn't haram. It's halal. Imagine now taking another aspect out of our day, which is social interaction. Social interaction is something as well that distracts us. So now in i'tikaf especially, it limits that. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't do i'tikaf like we do i'tikaf. Our i'tikaf, unfortunately, is a boys' club. It's camp.
Illa man rahim Allah.
I'm yet to see it, subhanAllah. Very few. Yeah, I have seen some people, mashallah, in i'tikaf, but they are very rare people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only he would stay in the masjid, he would pitch a tent in the masjid.
Secluded,
so he doesn't want to see even the other people in the masjid. Some people, they come to the i'tikaf, and wallahi, there was a brother once in i'tikaf, right? This was back in like the early 2000s, right? Or the late 99 or something like that. Still, mobile phones weren't that out.
Beautiful days. Right?
So subhanAllah, this brother was in i'tikaf on the phone to his wife the whole day. I don't think he spoke when he's at home to his wife as much as he spoke to his wife when he's in i'tikaf.
Sheikh, that's probably Allah alim, man.
Right? So subhanAllah, the shaitan decorates things to people. I remember once it happened to us. We were in i'tikaf, and we were talking, and we remembered the brother we haven't, and he was sick and was in hospital. We said, yeah, this brother's in hospital. Let's go visit him. We left the i'tikaf to go visit him, thinking we're doing a good deed, visiting a brother. And subhanAllah, this is something specifically Aisha radiallahu anha. Yani when she was doing i'tikaf, she would go to her house, because they didn't have toilets in the masjid. She would go to her house to go to the toilet. And if someone in the house was sick, she wouldn't even sit with them. She'd just, as she's walking, ask, how's this person doing? Without even sitting, just ask as she's passing through. Subhanallah. Right? But the shaitan sometimes uses our good intentions to distract us from what is more virtuous. And so some brothers, they come to i'tikaf and they say, I'm talking to a brother about Islam, talking about current affairs or what's happening overseas and the situation of the Muslims, thinking that they're doing something good. Speaking to his family, for example, I think he's doing something good, right? It's not, i'tikaf is a time for you to have seclusion. To be as if, as one of the mashaykh, he said, when you're in i'tikaf, imagine you are dead. You imagine you're not in this world anymore. Imagine you are in your grave. In your grave, what would you wish to do?
Worship Allah.
Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would wish to do, make dhikr and make dua and read Quran and pray. This is your seclusion. Try to be in the masjid. If you can't, then even to be in a tent, like it symbolizes a grave. You don't see anyone. You don't want to see anyone. You don't want anyone to see you. You don't want to speak with anyone. This is your time to dedicate yourself to your worship to Allah.
Sheikh, what do they say when someone goes missing? He's off the grid.
He's off the grid.
He's off the grid. Uncontactable. missing.
So only in absolute necessary يعني things, or for example, يعني from time to time, if the family comes, as Aisha radiallahu anha and the wives of the Prophet would come and see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from time to time, but it's something very brief, right? And some brothers, they bring their laptops and they bring their thing, they set up their own home office in the masjid. Akhi, you're busy, khalas, go, you don't have to do i'tikaf. And this brings us as well, yani, that's a point that I forgot to mention about the sleep. Yani, if you're too tired, we said don't do excessive, yani, don't sleep excessively, but don't make yourself tired excessively either, because then that takes away from the point of your prayers.
There are hadith about praying and specifically reading the Quran when you either come by sleep.
So the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith, "من قام من الليل فاستعجم القرآن على لسانه فلم يدري ما يقول فليضجع." So he said, "Whoever stands in night to pray, فاستعجم القرآن على لسانه." So the Quran becomes like non-Arabic. He starts mixing up the words, not Arabic anymore. It's not understood. It's mixing up the words. He's slurring the words. He's so tired, can't even pronounce the words of the Quran that he's supposed to be reading. You know, he might say something, and instead of being a praise of Allah, he might be cursing himself, right? So he said, if you become so tired and he can't even pronounce the word, it's like nodding off and falling asleep. No, it's better for him to stop praying and go to sleep, right? That's a thing. Some brothers, they push themselves too much when it comes to sunnah worships. It's sunnah. All right, in the obligatory prayers, pray. But in the sunnah prayers, if you're too tired, don't sleep and then pray later. Have a rest and then pray later if you can. If you can't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention, right? And the same thing, يعني, with يعني, with social interaction, that a person, just the absolute necessary, right? And this is the third thing that a person should isolate for himself. So whether he is doing i'tikaf or whether he's not doing i'tikaf, try to limit the social interactions, so that a person is, yani, focus on his worship. Try not to intermingle with people as much as you can. Try not to speak. Try to get off your phone. Try to get off the social media. Turn off, yani, all of these distractions as much as you can in Ramadan. And these are things that we practice in Ramadan, but they're not only for Ramadan. They're things even to carry on after.
Ramadan is basically a school, a university that shows you how you can be all the time, in reality.
It's a training ground. And the fourth is to indulgence in marital relations. And this is as well something that a person should overindulge in. Yani, same like your food, like your sleep, like your social interaction. Take of it what is necessary. Overindulgence is something that feeds the ego, feeds the carnal desires. And because when you become a slave to your desires, then it sometimes can be a fitna for you, and it takes you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should train our souls, you know, to be slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes to deprive ourselves even of something halal. You know, once Umar radiallahu anhu saw one of the Sahaba, I believe it was Abdullah bin Umar, I believe it was his son or one of the other Sahaba, he had some meat, right? He bought some meat from the market, it's carrying it on his shoulders going home. He said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, I've got some meat to, you know, to feed my family." Okay. The next day he saw as well, he had a piece of meat bought from the market, it's going. And he said, "What's this?" He said, "You know, it's meat." He said, "Didn't you have meat yesterday?" He said, "Yeah, but I felt like having meat today." He said, "أَوَكُلَّمَا اشْتَهَيْتَهُ اشْتَرَيْتَهُ." Is it everything you desire, you must buy it? And you have to train your soul, train yourself sometimes to be without. No, even though I like it, even though it's halal, it's not haram, but I have to train myself sometimes to say to myself, no.
Control, yeah.
And as the scholars, they said, your soul is like a child. Like if you spoil a child, he'll become rebellious, right? And if you're sort of strict on the child sometimes, you are able to keep them in control, right?
Now, Sheikh, can we, by extension to this, can we, you know, link letting the gaze or letting your sight wander everywhere and anywhere?
No.
Link to...
Yeah, so all of these are the desires, yani, whether, yani, the desire of the stomach, the desire of sleep, the desire of social interaction, the desire of fulfillment of things that bring pleasure, you know, especially carnal pleasures, wherever they are. You know, a person here, but we're not even like looking, is something that's forbidden. We're not talking about forbidden things here. We're talking things that are halal.
Halal, yeah.
Food that's halal, sleep that's halal, social interactions that are halal. We're not talking about gatherings that are swearing and lying and intermixing, and we're beyond that. You know, we're talking about things that a Muslim, a believer, should do to refine his iman, Not talking about even haram. We're talking now to the levels of ihsan. So even marital relations, intimacy between husband and wife, right? Which is halal and actually encouraged and something that brings you reward, sometimes to leave it for something that's greater. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on occasion, he would be desirous to be with his wife, and his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, she's desirous to be with him. And this is why in the famous hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what's the most amazing thing you have seen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What's something that really stood out? She said, one day she's made herself available to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she's ready to go to bed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to her, excuse me, do you permit me not to spend time in the bed with you? She said, what you love is more beloved to me than what I love to be with you. But to fulfill what you love is more beloved to me than what I love. And she thought the Prophet is gonna. He said, I want to unaji Rabbi. Literally, I want to speak with my Lord. I want to converse with my Lord. She thought, hey, we'll pray, ya Allah, like us, Allah musta'an, if pray two rak'ah sunnah quickly and, right? No.
Naam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did what's more beloved to him than any desire, any pleasure of this world, the pleasure of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of being in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of prayer. Because when you're in prayer, you're in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said he prayed and prayed and prayed, prayed so long, and would read with such consciousness and khushu' that he started to cry until his beard became wet. And then he would cry and cry and cry until the floor beneath him became wet from his tears, alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? And he did that until the morning, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he left even what's halal to that which is greater. And so if overindulgence in these matters, even though they're halal, whether it's overindulgence in food, overindulgence in sleep, overindulgence in social interactions, what they call mukhalata, or overindulgence in intimacy, and even though they're all halal, a person should, and this is what the last 10 nights really teach us. And we see from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are lessons that, things that will help us bring that closer connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refine our iman and bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that inshallah, these are all related to our souls and our whims and our desires. And to control them for that which is greater. To seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is greater. But as well, not to be excessive and extreme in them. Okay, because you can't be extreme and not eat at all. Right? The Prophet ﷺ forbade continuous fasting, for example. Not sleep at all. The Prophet ﷺ forbade for a person to be so tired and exhausted you can't even concentrate on his prayers. No, sleep is better. Right? For a person to interact and speak what is necessary. Even the Prophet ﷺ performed i'tikaf, but he still interacted with his wives when they came to visit him. He'd speak with them and so on. But what's the bare minimum, absolute necessity in our lives, in our work? Some people when they go to work, they are what they call social butterflies, speaking to Sam and Mary and whatever, and over the water cooler and having coffee and so on. And some people, subhanallah,
shout out to Sam and Mary out there if you're listening. Sam and Mary,
all right,
thanks for listening,
all right. And some people, subhanallah, they're just dedicated to their work. They speak to people as per necessary. There are no unnecessary side conversations, just very formal, work-related, and this is how the Muslim should be, right? Unnecessary interaction, it can lead to pitfalls that a person, and sometimes sinful things, or sometimes not necessarily, but it just clouds the heart, clouds the faith. Okay, so we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us refine our faith, and we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us do the things that bring us closer to Him. Because wallahi, there is nothing in this world that is more important than our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing that will benefit us in this world, no pleasure will bring us in this world like the pleasure of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing will benefit us in this world or from this world for the hereafter than our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day that no wealth and no children will avail a person except the one who comes to Allah with a pure heart that's free from all evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of them.
Ameen. Barakallahu fiqh di Shaykh. One quick question. When donating money, is it better to split it over 10 nights? I mean, probably asking about the rewards in the last 10 days, how to maximize their rewards.
Look, يعني, a person should give whatever he can afford, and a person cannot guarantee whether he'll live till tomorrow. يعني, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, بَادِرُ بِالْأَعْمَالِ. And hasten to do good deeds, you know, before death may overcome you. And you don't know, wallahi, when death will overcome you. You need to spend, you know, if you have charity, give it. And if tomorrow you get more charity, you get more money, give it. And if tomorrow you, and it's not about, wallahi, maybe today I gave all the money that I have. Tomorrow I only had a dollar. Give that dollar. Or give the, if you can't afford to give the dollar, give the 50 cents. It's not about the amount. I have $10,000, so I want to give $1,000 for every night in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Who said? Right? No, give it all.
Another quick question, Dishaykh, before we wrap up. How can someone who is spending the last 10 nights at home organize their time?
Yani,
especially for the sisters.
Yeah, wallahi, yani, I know, yani, especially yani, for the sisters, and especially if they have children and they have responsibilities to their household, it's very difficult. So, wallahi, I advise a person to do the best that they can. I advise them as well, if they need to, يعني, cooperate with others, cooperate with your spouse, if you have a husband, or if you have family members that you may be able to rely on, يعني, to dedicate some time. For example, as I said, especially, يعني, try if you can to sleep early. Try to, يعني, get up in the middle of the night, or at least in the last third of the night. يعني, try to do the best that you can to do the night prayers. Because, subhanAllah, no matter how much you try in the daytime, there's always, especially if you have children, there's so many distractions. You sit to read one page of the Quran and you're shouting at this one, sit down. Shouting at this one, stop hitting your brother. Shouting at this one, you know, this one wants to go to the toilet. And this one wants to have a drink of water, especially if they're young and they're, you know. So it's very difficult. So try your best in the daytime, but really your key is in the night. So really try to, yani, prepare yourself so that, yani, you can try to have an early night as best as possible. Pray your Isha prayer, go to sleep, wake up, yani, in the middle of the night or towards the end of the night. And in the day, if you can't sit and dedicate yourself to specific worship, to reading Quran or praying Sunnah prayers, at least increase in your tasbih. Increase in your dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, and other words of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars, they said that a person on the day of judgment will not have regret for anything as much as he had regret for not doing more adhkar, because it's an act of worship that's so easy. It's just an act of worship with the tongue. You don't have to be in wudu, you don't have to face the qibla, you don't have to have any sort of this full concentration. As you're cooking, as you're cleaning, as you're whatever you're doing, if you can, try, for example, to cooperate, for example, with your spouse to take some of the load of your responsibilities, to give you some freedom to do your worships. But a person tries the بِفَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Wallahi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intentions and knows your abilities. And if you try with a sincere intention to do and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you try your best, but you are overcome with things that are outside of your capacity, wallahi, maybe it is just maybe it's just 5 minutes. That 5 minutes may be worth more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of what it will do for your iman and what it will do for your reward, greater than hours and hours of worship.
All right.
So I know a lot of, especially our sisters and even some of our brothers, for example, that they feel really bad that they're not dedicating those hours to worship. Allah won't hold you responsible. Allah knows everyone's capacity. Right, and what's important is that you are true and sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you try to do your best in your situation, and just that intention, that drive that you have, right, that moment that you have to worship, that will be like a catalyst. That will be something that will be magnificent in terms of its effect. We'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all with what is pleasing to Him.
Jazakallah khairan, the Shaykh. We'd like to thank you and thank our tech team, especially the brothers today who helped us with some upgrades and renovations in the studio. We thank them. Yes, the lighting is a lot better since we got some feedback regarding that. Also, I'd like to thank our brothers from the Pachi Coffee for the coffee, and also all the brothers and sisters who tuned in online. Wallahu alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.